all of us know that the God that we worship is a powerful God who is capable and who's able. And there's no question about that. In this instance, we have a beautiful story about how God wins the victory. That's not my lesson today. My lesson focuses on another aspect, and I'd like for you to bear with me as we go forward. First of all, I want us to understand that there is no God like God. Who else but God could fight against three nations? In this instance, you notice that there are three nations they are fighting against. And they're going to fight against them in a wilderness place that's going to be south of Jerusalem. And so they're going to head out and go there. Who else but God can conquer these armies? In verse 15, these people are called at the end of the verse, a great multitude. So this army then is going to go out and fight against a great multitude. Who else but God can do that? Who else but God can be so compassionate that on his people he's going to say, these people who say, you know, we don't know what to do, but we've got our eyes on you, God. That's verse 12. I love that. Only God would be a God who would be so caring and merciful to them. And only God would be a God who could say to them in battle, why don't you, this is what we read, why don't you stand and see the salvation of the Lord. I think that's beautiful. The Lord who is with you. If God is with us, who can be against us? These are lessons that we know. No surprise there. So where are we headed? Well, we're headed in another direction. God has a lot, and God will do a lot for you. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, exceedingly abundantly above everything that we can ask or think. We're clued in about that, but I want us to think about another aspect in this text. Now, that's the aspect of the singers. So let's push ahead. The singers, first of all, notice that they are appointed in verse 21 by their king. And I think that that's interesting. The appointment is by King Jehoshaphat himself. His name means God is the judge. And truly he shows the spirit that he's on God's side in this verse. He consults with the people, verse 21, and then he appoints. Notice, he appoints those who should sing to the Lord. What a godly man he is. So we're going to get ready for battle, folks. We're going to get ready for battle. All of us in this room are going to war. What are we going to do first? Well, first we're going to appoint singers. When he says he's going to appoint the singer, he's saying, I know God's going to give us the victory, and therefore we're not going to start out with the warriors. We're going to start out with singers. That means something. I want you to think about that and the godliness of this man. Secondly, they were supposed to sing to the Lord, and the singers had that job. They had no other job. They had a job to sing, and that was their work, and that was what they were going to do, and they were going to do this job. Their singing was to the Lord. The Lord is a great motivator for this army. We're aware of that. In verse 21, it says specifically what they were to sing. They were to sing, praise the Lord. See that in verse 21? For his mercy endures forever. Now, this is in three other passages, and you'll notice in this last passage in Psalm 136, it's listed no less than 26 times. His mercy endures forever. The compassion that the Lord has are magnificent compassions for you. These singers were going out first. Let me say that again. These singers were going out first before anyone else to declare God's power and to declare his deliverance. But the singers had a song to sing, and in verse 21 it says that they sing praises to the majesty or the splendor of holiness. And in the New King James, or the King James, it's called the beauty of holiness, which is a great translation. I love that in verse 21. I want you to notice that this is in three other passages in the Psalms. The concept of the beauty of holiness, first of all, it's here from David. David says, give unto the Lord the glory that's due his name, and worship the Lord in, and uses the same phrase, the beauty of holiness. And then Moses, in Psalm 90, he says the exact same thing, where he says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And from that psalm, you know that that means that God is eternal and God is right in everything he does, and we're frail people, and we're only around for, he says, 70, or if by reason of strength, 80 years. Remember that? And so this is his concluding verse of that psalm, and he says, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And then Psalm 96 and verse 9, which is a beautiful psalm, says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. But I like the idea that they are to sing loudly. And in verse 19, which we read, before they go out to battle, the Levites are singing, and they are singing loudly, the verse says at the end of verse 19. Why? Why sing loudly? Well, I found that in Scripture, in the Psalms, when they were told to sing, they were supposed to sing loudly. First of all, in Psalm 81 and verse 1, sing aloud unto the Lord our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. I've highlighted two words, aloud and noise, because the Hebrew words mean with a loud cry. Two different words, but with a loud cry, sing to God. Or look at this verse. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, come let us sing to the Lord. We have a song that is based on this verse. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Why loudly? Well, you know, the bumper sticker says, sing loud because it's a big, noisy world. And I think that's true. But in this context, why were they singing loudly to the Lord? In this passage, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they're singing loudly because their king is a great king, and he is compassionate, and he is going to save them. And with that recognition, then they can sing out, and they can sing forth. And not only this, but I think that they sing for another reason, which I'm going to get to right now. And that is, here's another parallel passage. It's from Isaiah chapter 40. And it's talking about Christ is coming, and shout out, because Christ is on the way. And notice it says, get yourself up to a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of the good news. Lift up your voice mightily. O Jerusalem, bearer of good news, lift it up and do not fear. Say to the cities, here is your God, meaning the Messiah is on the way. I think that that's beautiful language. But it gives us an understanding of why. Because God is going to save us. Because in this passage, Jesus is coming. We'll come back to Isaiah 40 in just a minute for one more set of verses, and it's a short one. But I want you to know that in these verses, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, these singers are people who have faith. They are people who trust in God. They are people of trust. The king appoints you to be a singer for the army, and you say, great king, I'm all for it, I'm ready to go, here I am, I'm going to sing for the army. And you think to yourself, well, okay, I think what I'll do for the king then is I'll be with the singers, and we'll be on the side of the road as the army's heading out of town. You with me? And I'm going to be a good singer that way because I can encourage, no problem. And the king says, no, that's not where I want you. And I say, okay, king, I'm going to be a singer. I'm happy to sing. I'm going to sing up on the ramparts, on the wall of the city, as the army's leaving. You know, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. I can sing that song. We know that song. That's the way I want to be. I'm all about the singing. And the king says, that's not where I want you to be. Where, in according to verse 21, where were the singers located? Where were the singers located? Well, the king says for them, he appoints them to sing in front of the march to war. In front of. And so you think, well, that's not so, wow. I don't know. I don't know about that. I was okay when it was the warriors out front and the singers in the back. You know, but, you know, you're telling me you want the singers in the front. The singers in the front. Now remember, this is called, remember the army that they're going out against is called a vast multitude. You already saw that in Scripture. They're not going out against, you know, 10 people. They're going out against a vast multitude. And they're going out with singers. I want you to know it takes a lot of faith, you know, to walk through that gate and sing. And I think that this shows that God's way is so different than our way. You know, God's way is for you and for me. He says it in verse 15, he says, don't be afraid. That's what God's way. He says, don't be afraid. And I say to myself, but. And God says, no, verse 15, don't be afraid. And then God's way is different from our way because verse 20, believe in the Lord your God. And I say, I believe. Behind the warriors, I'm full of belief. And God says, well, go stand out in front of the warriors and march toward the enemy. And God says, you go, verse 21, you go and you sing. In God's way, it's very different, very different. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, God is not limited like I'm limited. I'm limited by my creativity. I'm limited by imagination. I'm limited by my power. I'm limited by my vision of how it could be. But God is not. Isn't that what Ephesians 3 verse 20 is saying to you and I? It's that God doesn't lack any of those things, and that he has given us an order, and now it's up to us to push forward. And so the outcome of our faith is, and we looked at Isaiah 40 a few minutes ago. Remember that was that big long passage talking about Jesus coming? This is the same chapter we're going to look at in Isaiah. And we're going to look at what the outcome of their faith is. Remember, they're supposed to break forth and tell the folks that here is your God, he's coming. And when they do that, here's the outcome. Don't you know, haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary. God doesn't become tired. You know, his understanding is inscrutable. It's past finding out. It's impossible. You try to figure it out on your own terms. But he gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. The youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait in the Lord will gain new strength. Will gain new strength. This is the God that we serve. You know, life is a test for you. Life is not just about what God is doing for you, although you and I would say in 2 Chronicles 20, God is doing a whole lot for them. And I would say, yes, God is doing a whole lot for them. But I think that there's another lesson in 2 Chronicles 20, and it's in two parts. And I think the first part is here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, he'll exalt you at the right time. Now, brethren, the right time is something that you and I think we know about. We think we're ready. And God, I'm ready to go to heaven right now. And God says, well, at the right time, I'll exalt you. At the right time. Not now. And, you know, we say, well, I am so worried about tomorrow. And God says, well, cast all of your anxiety on him. He doesn't say, throw some of it his way. He doesn't say, throw part of it his way. He says, cast every bit of your anxiety, every fear that you have, every worry that you have, every concern that you have, on him, because, the verse says, because he cares. The verse goes on. That's fine. He cares. Fine. He cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5. But here's another passage which I love, which is Psalm 43. And if you want all of Psalm 43, it's great, short, it's quick. I think this is in verse 5, which says, hope in God. And I think that that's something for us to consider. You know, we need to have confidence. And we need to put our confidence in God. And not only put our confidence in, but brethren, metaphorically, if you're with me, we need to march out there singing. That's where we need to be. I'm going to leave you with this verse. And it's verse 21 of our text. And it is that he appointed those who should sing to the Lord as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I'm going to leave it with a question. And my question to you is, do you have this kind of confidence? Is this kind of trust your trust? To do what God says for you to do. And not just do you hold this kind of confidence, but then will you obey? Will you obey? Two different things, aren't they? Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand up and sing the song that's been announced.